So glad to be with you this evening and have this opportunity to honor the God of heaven and worship Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lamb and Redeemer. If you're visiting with us, we're truly honored by your presence, but all of us are honored to be in the presence of the Father and of His Son. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. John sees into heaven and he sees the Lamb taking a scroll that nobody else could open. And in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as in the sea and all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Jesus was truly exalted, praised and honored in heaven by all of its inhabitants. In this scene, and I think we could look at others as well, in the literature of Scripture and see that. And yet, in the song that we just sang, incredibly, there is a line that says, "He was worshipped with contempt." How can it be that the all-glorious, exalted Son of God could be worshipped with contempt? But He was. And He may still be today. He could be being worshipped with contempt right now. That song that we sang was written by our late brother, Matthew Basford. In an interview with Stephen Rouse before his death about the song Exalted, Matt Basford was asked about the phrase "worshipped with contempt." And he was asked about the verses in Scripture that he had in mind when he penned those words. Matt mentioned the mistreatment of Jesus from Herod's soldiers that's found in Luke 23. And then the awful scene that's depicted in the Gospel of Mark in Mark 15 when Jesus was worshipped with contempt. Let's begin our examination of this topic by looking at those instances in the last hours of Christ before He's crucified. Jesus was indeed worshipped with contempt before Herod. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 11, Herod, with his men of war, treated Him with contempt and mocked Him, arrayed Him in a gorgeous robe, and sent Him back to Pilate. So they array Him in this royal-type robe, and they mockingly honor Him. And then He's sent back to Pilate. And Mark records in Mark 15 and verse 16 that Pilate's soldiers led Him away into the hall called the Praetorium. That would be the palatial hall in the governor's palace. And they called together the whole garrison. The Antonio Fortress was nearby, which garrisoned hundreds and hundreds of Roman troops, probably more than that during the Passover at this time. And so the whole garrison comes together. And they clothed Him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns, and they put it on His head, and began to salute Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck Him on the head with a reed, and they spat on Him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped Him. Worshipped with contempt, in mockery, trying to humiliate the One who had been brought to them, claiming to be the King of the Jews. It's hard to envision that because we know who Jesus is. We know him to be the glorious king that in Revelation 5 was worshipped in heaven itself. And yet he took all of that. They put that reed in his hand, symbolizing the scepter of a king. They spat on his face. They bowed before him in a way that was humorous to them. And they feigned to worship him. Jesus, you might think, well, he didn't know that was coming. But he did. He knew it was coming exactly like that. In Luke chapter 18, he took the 12 aside and he tells them in verse 31, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. In Mark chapter 9, people came to him and asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first before the Christ? And he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first, and he restores all things. But then he asked them a question. He says, how is it written concerning the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? The Son of Man knew what was going to happen to the Son of Man. I think he had in his mind's eye exactly how it would probably all play out. He goes on to tell them, I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. Indeed, John the Baptist had been cruelly treated as well. So Jesus was worshipped with contempt when he walked this earth, and all of that as part of the road of darkness, the cup that he drank for our salvation, so that he might go to the cross and suffer that ignominious death and be humiliated in the eyes of men, that he might be glorified in heaven. But being God, walking in the flesh, he knew how people can treat God. God was worshipped with contempt long ago, had been worshipped with contempt many times, even and especially, perhaps, by his own people. The book of Malachi is a divine record of God's charges against his people who once worshipped him with contempt. Malachi chapter 1, the Lord begins his conversation with Israel by saying in verse 2, I have loved you. God loved them so very dearly. He treated them in very special ways, showered his grace and mercy upon them, his blessings, his redemption. And yet he has to say to them in verse 6, Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6 now, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If I then am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Here are people who despised the God of heaven. They thought that they were honoring him. They didn't see in themselves, immediately at least, how it was that they were despising him. The Lord explains, you offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. The very place where we bring the offerings and worship him, where we show what is to be honor and love and homage and adoration to this God who created us and has redeemed us and established us as his people. That we show contempt for that table, for that place of worship. It would be tantamount to somebody today saying that they have contempt for the table of the Lord's Supper, representing the Lord's Supper itself. You say the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? offer them to your governor, would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. So here God is. He deserves honor as a father and a master. Yet the priest despise him, and his table to them is contemptible. And they're willing to offer, that to demonstrate that, they're willing to offer sacrifices that actually it's embarrassing that they'd give it to anybody. I mean, you know, the homeless people on the streets in the big cities, some of the fine restaurants, they have leftovers and things that they haven't sold, they give it to the homeless people out the back door, right? And sometimes they give them some stuff that's maybe all not that nice. And that's given to homeless people. This is the God of heaven. And you're going to give him a blind lamb? A lame sheep? Something you wouldn't give to anybody that you had any respect for. But you pass that off as a sacrifice of honor and worship to the God of heaven? God says, give it to your governor. Try to give that to your governor and see how he'd like it. It's an insult. It's a mockery of worship. It's a mockery of God himself. God's not going to accept it any more than their governor would. In verse 9, but now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. So surely there's somebody, some priest among you, somebody with enough to him, enough appreciation of who God is, enough reverence for who God is, that they would shut the doors on this, that they would say, no more. If we're not going to do any better than this, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to offer these contemptible sacrifices to our God. He will not accept them. It's an embarrassment to us. It's a shame on us. And we're going to close the doors before we'll offer any more of these contemptible sacrifices. God's challenging the priests of Israel. Somebody be holy enough and man enough to get it right and to honor me. God's name is great among the nations. He says in verse 11, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the nations. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord. But you profane it in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled and its fruit, its food is contemptible. And thus you also say, it's a weariness. We're tired of doing all of this. Coming to church all the time, right? Going through the things that we do in worship that have become routine to us. God was being worshipped in contempt. And it's not that even then had been the first time. He'd been worshipped in contempt really kind of all throughout the history of Israel off and on, right? You go back 300 years before to the time of Isaiah. God tells Israel, bring no more futile sacrifices. No more futile sacrifices. No more sacrifices that are worthless and meaningless and don't really accomplish anything. Don't bring any more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. So an abomination is something that is hated. I hate this incense that you're burning to me because you don't mean it. You're not real about it. He goes on to explain, the incense is an abomination to me, the new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies. He says, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. You come in to a holy assembly to honor the God of heaven, anything but holy. Pleased with your unholiness, and expect God's going to be pleased with your service of contempt. Isaiah went on to prophesy later in his great book that the Israelites, the people of God, would do it again. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. It's that passage that Jesus is quoting when we come to Matthew chapter 15, and he accuses the Pharisees and the scribes of this very same kind of worship, worship that is hollow and empty and meaningless because it's fraught with hypocrisy, because it's not sincere, and it's done to show off to men rather than to honor the God of heaven. Jesus says, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the commandments of men.'" And so people come together even today and teach as their doctrines the commandments of men, things that men want, and claim to be in their worship honoring the God of heaven. And God says, that doesn't honor me at all. You're just doing what you want to do, not what I want to do and not what honors me. So the Lord is still being worshipped with contempt. When our worship is disingenuous and our imitation of Christ is the path of convenience and self-justification rather than self-denial and self-sacrifice, we are worshiping with contempt. In the book of Jeremiah, and I invite you to go there with me, Jeremiah chapter 7, we have an attitude among the people of God then that I think sometimes is replicated still today by those who think that identifying with the Church of Christ means that God will accept them no matter what they do. I've heard people say virtually that when they're confronted with something that they are not well informed on doctrinally, or they need to correct behaviorally, and the response to it is, "I grew up in the Church of Christ. My daddy was a preacher. I have a grandfather that was an elder. Well, I even went to Athens Bible School. And therefore, ticket is punched, right?" In Jeremiah chapter 7, through Jeremiah, God is warning his people, a people that he's about to destroy because of their lack of sincerity in honoring him. But he tells them, "Do not trust in these lying words saying, 'The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these.'" If you repeat something three times in Hebrew especially, that's just a superlative. We are totally relying on the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. It's going to save us because we have the temple of the Lord, because we go into the temple of the Lord to worship. God tells them they need to thoroughly amend their ways in verse 5. Not oppress the stranger in verse 6. But they trust in these lying words, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." And then God asks them in verse 9, "Will you steal and murder and commit adultery and swear falsely and burn incense to Baal and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations'?" We can do what we want to do. And God's going to wink at it and overlook it and turn a blind eye to it, because We got the temple of the Lord. And he's not going to destroy his temple. And he's not going to reject the worship that is given to him in the temple. That's the thought. That's the thought. Do we think, really, that we are delivered to live in pleasure and materialism through the week and view our pornography and gossip about our neighbor and spread political hate speech and fail to forgive a brother and go drinking with our coworkers or lie on our income taxes and then come to worship God and be accepted because we're members of the Church of Christ, of the Church of Christ, of the Church of Christ? Do we imagine somehow that giving less than our best to honor and glorify the God of heaven, as they did in the days of Malachi, would be perfectly acceptable today to the God of heaven? Are we worshiping him with contempt? I read a story this last week in thinking about all of this. It's about a village in Spain from some long time back. The people of the little village got wind that the king was going to pay them a visit. No king of Spain had ever visited this little village before. So they all got excited about it. They wanted to do something special for when the king came, to honor him in some special way. They got together, put their heads together, and what could we give him? What could we share with him that would really show him honor? The area was known for its good grapes and its good wine, and so they decided, well, what we'll do is everybody bring your best wine, and we'll pour it all together, and we'll give him the best wine he's ever tasted. And so the day came when the king was coming, and all the citizens brought big vessels full of wine, and they pour them together in this big vat or container. When the king gets there, he's told what it is, the best wine you've ever tasted, all of the greatest wine from our village here in this vat. And they give him something to draw with, and he draws out and takes a big drink of nothing but water. Because everybody, when they came to pour their wine in the vat, didn't want to give their best wine. They knew that others would give their best wine, or they thought they knew that. So they just brought water to pour in with everybody else's good wine. Everybody brought water. Because somebody else is going to honor the king. That's not on me. When worship is more about loving the show than showing the love, it's worship in contempt. Nowadays, I always ask Google AI about everything. You may too. Here's what Google AI said when I asked it, "What does it mean to be worshipped with contempt?" Going through the motions of worship without sincere belief or devotion. Individuals might participate in religious rituals, sing hymns, or offer prayers out of obligation, social pressure, or habit, while harboring skepticism or doubt, or even resentment towards the object of worship or the religious institution itself. In essence, worship with contempt signifies a hollowness in the act of worship, a disconnect between external display an internal sentiment, ultimately reflecting a lack of true faith and reverence. Sometimes AI does pretty good. We are privileged to be worshipers of God. And he is deserving, as we have said many times, of worshipers who worship him in holiness, because he is holy. Are we worshiping in hollowness instead of holiness, though? As was described. In Psalm 29 and verse 2, the psalmist says, "Give unto the Lord the glory that is due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In order to do that, a person has to get themselves right with God. You remember God said in Isaiah 1:13, "I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting." God deserves to be worshipped by those who love and adore him, those who understand that he is holy and deserving of being worshipped by those who are holy. Now, we've talked about this a lot, and if you're not familiar with my preaching, quick review. All of us sin. We all have the sin problem. We've been guilty of sin. We struggle with sin from day to day. God wants and deserves worship from those who are pure. How can that happen? He sent his son to die for us. That's how it can happen. That's free. It's grace. All you have to do is apply his grace to your life and get forgiveness. You can be clean and pure anytime through faith and obedience. It's quick and simple. It's not jumping through hoops. It's not perfect sinlessness or obedience all the time. It's complete reliance on God is all he's asking. And when you get a black spot on your white robe, clean it off in the blood of Christ. And try not to get it dirty again. That's not hard. And so there is really no excuse for coming into the feast without a wedding garment. The one provided by the blood of Christ. We are saints. The word saint means holy ones. We are called to be saints. Everyone who's a Christian has been called to be a saint, a holy one. Who does God want to be worshipped by? His saints. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, Paul writes to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. We are sanctified, we are cleansed in Christ. To be sanctified is to be made holy in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7, God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. He knows what we've been. He knows where we've been. He knows what we've done. He's gladly willing to cleanse us of all that through the blood of his Son. We have no reason to come in with those stains on us, participating in those evil deeds, and claim to honor him in that condition, when he's made it so that we can be pure. Do you not know, Paul asks us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God for his grace. Take advantage of his grace. What's your motivation for that? You say, well, I want to go to heaven. That's good. What's in heaven? God the Father, God the Son. What are we doing in heaven? Honoring God the Father, God the Son. That's what it's all about. Experiencing the glory with them. That's what it's all about. Let's prepare for that. Really prepare for that. by worshiping God in our assemblies at all times in a way that brings Him honor, not with contempt. Jesus was worshiped with contempt in the halls of Pilate. It is, if you try to imagine that in your mind's eye, it is painful to see it, isn't it? Don't you think? It's horrible to see our Savior being treated that way. Let's don't do the same in our worship to Him. Thank you so much for being here tonight to honor Jesus. And I pray that in what we've done, we have honored Him and will strive to honor Him more because of having been here this evening. If there's one who's subject to the invitation of Christ, if you have sin in your life that you need to rid yourself of, if you need to confess that openly, if you need the prayers of the church, if you've never become a Christian, never had your sins washed away in the blood of the Lamb by faith, repentance, and baptism, can you do that now? Why not? Please come while we stand and while we sing.